many refugees in Lebanon. We don't have any official refugee camp. Most tend to stay with family or people with family in the same towns where they're inside concrete houses. But over the summer, after the huge deluge of refugees, we ended up with a phenomenon where they just buy tents and set them up literally on the side of the road. So you would see some temporary tents on the official Beirut-Damascus crossing at Masna. But the phenomenon is most visible in Lebanon's Bekaa Valley, in an area called Al-Qa'a, Diya Al-Qa'a, the towns of Al-Qa'a. Okay.
And the UNHCR says that something like 135,000, I think, is their official figures for the number of Syrian refugees in Lebanon. Do you think that's a big underestimate?
I mean, our estimate is closer to 250,000. But it's really, I mean, the UNHCR is counting the people that registered with it. We're estimating everybody.
When you say we, who do you mean?
Well, it's not a formal organization. It's a group of volunteers. We work with several organizations, Lebanese organizations. Lebanese and Syrian organizations. Because we don't have a legal status, we cannot ask for donations, we cannot bring in convoys of aid and so on. So we have to rely on these organizations to give us the legal cover that we need.
And that, so the winter storms have really hit refugees in the last few days. What's the scene?
It's complete and utter disaster. All of the refugees are outside Beirut. Most of them, a huge majority of them, are in very rural areas that are ill-equipped to deal with flooding as it is. So you take the flooding on top of the refugees, and well, I was focusing a bit on car, and what we had is tents with everything inside them being swept away by the rain and swept into a valley. So we have people who, their only belongings, the tent and what's inside it, have been swept away by the rain. So now they're shacking up in several families in one tent. And the tents we're talking about, they're camping, they're not for long-term stay.
So they've been hit by a kind of double disaster. Refugees from Syria are now in need of shelter from the weather.
Exactly.
What's the government doing, if anything?
The government has been doing, it's been helping. It's not been totally idle. This flooding thing, it wasn't totally unexpected, but we were completely unprepared for it. So it didn't take us by surprise, but we were sitting there helpless to do anything. I'm not sure there is much that can be done. I mean, it's not that we can put up buildings to put these people in. They do have to rely on temporary housing. But it's important for us to replace their most basic needs, the ones that have been swept away. It's important for us to replace them as soon as possible.
But you've said, you've tweeted that aid is desperately needed. What form can that aid take?
Our two highest priorities at the moment are blankets and tents.
And who do you think it should come through? The UNHCR?
I put out my tweet so that we get some small private individual donations. When it comes to UNHCR, they have their process and their bureaucracy, and they have to do a survey, and their process is really long-winded.
So who would you, if you've got some money and you want to donate to this appeal, who should you direct it towards?
If you don't have any sectarian issues and you don't mind giving anybody who's doing a good job, then I would suggest that you give it to the folks who are working with the Jesuit Refugee Service. If you insist on dealing with a Muslim-oriented organization, then there's Al-Bashar in Tripoli.
What are they doing?
They're distributing aid. They have volunteers who go around, they come with us, they help us distribute the aid. They give us aid to distribute. They have the network in place, they have the legal bank accounts in place, they have the administrative requirements, so they just deal with the legal stuff and leave us to deal with the logistical stuff.
How many people do you think have been affected by the weather?
Affected to any extent, I would estimate more than 50,000.
In the last few days?
Definitely. I mean, I'm talking about any sort of effect, but I'm right now focusing about the people who have really lost everything for the second time. And those would be in the couple of hundreds.
And where are they based, largely?
Our team, I wasn't with them, but the folks I usually work with went to Al-Qa'a yesterday, which is in Bekaa, right on the border with Syria. And they're the most unfortunate refugees today. And they reported that they're in immediate need of more than 150 tents.
And is the weather going to... I hear that it's sort of the worst winter storms for something like 25 years. Is the weather going to get worse?
Well, I haven't seen the weather forecast, but I get the sense that the storm is subsiding a bit.
So there's some sort of respite now to do some... to help?
Yes, I can tell you that our travels today were much easier than our travels yesterday.
But just to repeat that figure, something in the hundreds is the number that have sort of lost their accommodation over the last day or so.
Yes, over the past 48 hours.
Can you be more specific?
Yes. We're talking about those who lost their possessions due to the storm between Sunday and Monday. They were estimated at about 150.
Okay.
150 families, not individuals.
And 50,000 affected in some way.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm basing that on. Like I mentioned earlier, that most of the refugees from Syria end up shacking up with family or previous neighbors or somebody they know somehow.
Okay. Give us an example of the sort of plight that that some of those 150 families, people have suffered in the last few days.
Okay, well, let me put it this way. There are no refugee camps. So what they're doing is they're setting up tents on unused plots of land. These are usually farms that belong to people who have passed away and have no children to inherit and haven't been through the process of the government and so on. In most cases, what's happening is that the tents are being set up on the sides of the road. It's a rural area, so there are no sidewalks. The area that's supposed to be in the sidewalk, that's where the tent is going. In the flooding, they had to run indoors. So they had to run and take shelter with the people who have concrete walls around them. And when they went back out, their tents and everything inside them were gone.
Have any gone back to Syria?
Not to my knowledge. I don't know of any cases of anybody going back to Syria.
What do you fear is going to happen over the next few days?
Well, I just pulled out the weather forecast, and it seems tomorrow is going to be the worst day, and after that, it's going to get easier. So hopefully, that means on Thursday we can do a damage assessment and start working on repairing the damage, replacing these people's possessions. I mean, again, when I'm talking about possessions, I'm talking about things that have been handed down to them, not the refrigerators. We're talking about their clothes, their blankets, their tents, their cookware. Over the next week, it's going to be damage control, but I think we really need to come up with mechanisms to react faster, to limit the damage, should we have any further storms. Now, Lebanon's winter usually ends in March, so we have 2.5 months to go. And I mean, the team I'm working with, we're going to be doing everything we can to ensure that we're on standby, we're ready to intervene whenever a disaster happens.
Okay, Shaq. Well, thanks very much.
All right. Thank you.